this is Missy Hollander from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the News and Observer's Restaurant Reviews. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. The first restaurant review I'm going to read is for Relish Cafe and Bar. And again, before we get started, just a quick thing for what the ratings actually mean. 5 stars are extraordinary, 4 stars excellent, 3 stars above average, 2 stars average, and 1 star fair. And Relish Cafe and Bar received 3 stars. They are located at 5625 Creedmoor Road in Raleigh. Their phone number is 787-1855. Traditional recipes for relish call for chopped sweet pickles, onions, peppers, and spices. Variations may include anything from artichokes to corn to green tomatoes. Sharon May's recipe for relish, the restaurant she opened in April in North Raleigh, calls for an altogether different list of ingredients. Miniature cast iron skillets in which the restaurant serves variations on the mac and cheese theme. Paper lunch sacks bearing cinnamon and sugar dusted donut holes straight from the fryer. Mason jars as vessels for everything from beverage to banana pudding. Over a career that goes back to the Angus Barn in the 80s, May has collected ideas for her restaurant from a variety of sources, from the original Darrell's on Hillsborough Street to the Food Network. As the concept gelled, her guiding principle became simple food made from scratch and presented in a way that makes the experience fun. At Relish, her collection of recipes and homey presentations comes together in a menu that May describes as comfort food with a new southern twist. By and large, the food lives up to the presentation. Deep-fried black-eyed peas, served in a diminutive mason jar, are quickly becoming a signature dish, and deservedly so. Fried green tomatoes, meaty and tangy under a light breading and a scattering of crumbled feta cheese, are another worthy starter. The creamy dill and orange dressing is so fetching on a salad of shrimp and mixed greens that you're inclined to overlook the puddle on the plate. Homemade pimento cheese, served with locally baked crackers, is so addictive you'll find yourself ordering it even if you've already snacked on the sampling station by the host stand. Relish sells house-made specialties at a little gourmet food and wine shop just inside the door. Can't decide between pimento cheese and fried green tomato? Get them both in the big cheese, where they're joined by cheddar and provolone between slices of grilled sourdough. According to May, it's the most popular of the half-dozen variations. The Parisian, brie, ham, and raspberry pomegranate preserves on a baguette, sounds tempting too. So does the Wisconsin, sharp cheddar, apples, and bacon on sourdough, though that one needed more cheese when I sampled it. The bread is okay by diner standards, but needs to rise above the ordinary to merit inclusion on a menu that dedicates a category to grilled cheese sandwiches. In contrast, mac and cheese fully lives up to its cast iron skillet promise. The basic version features a cavatappia pasta in a creamy blend of bechamel and sharp cheddar served bubbling hot. Variations include Mexican, chorizo and pepper jack, Alfredo with blackened chicken, and French, ham, Swiss, cheese, and mushrooms. Burgers are made with 8 ounces of beef. Chicken breast may be substituted. That's fatty enough to be reasonably juicy, even when grilled to the legally required medium. Offered in versions ranging from Roma, with fresh mozzarella and pesto, to stroganoff, mushroom, Swiss, and sour cream, they're satisfying, if not particularly memorable, in an increasingly competitive burger market. If it's a hearty sandwich you're after, you might consider the justifiably popular Reuben. Instead of the customary Thousand Island dressing, the Relish Kitchen substitute its house-made Mississippi comeback sauce. You won't be the first person to pick up a bottle on your way out the door. Under the heading of Southern Comforts, the menu offers a handful of entrees ranging from shrimp and grits to vegetable plate. Fish tacos aren't bad, but for my money, the star is the chicken fried steak. The crust is exemplary, and the black pepper cream gravy so good you'll wish you could lick the plate. The price, $10, including excellent green beans and skin-on mashed potatoes, is a bargain anyone can relish. Again, Relish Cafe and Bar received 3 stars, located at 5625 Creedmoor Road in Raleigh, phone number 787-1855. The next restaurant review is also in Raleigh, and this is for Ballymore, who also received 3 stars. They're located at 909 Spring Forest Road in Raleigh, and their phone number is 872-2674. Tucked behind a Jason's Deli at the end of Sutton Square, Ballymore is almost hard to find as the fabled pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Persevere, though, and you'll round the corner of the parking lot and spot the faux Georgian facade painted a brilliantly blue worthy of a Doors of Dublin poster. Step inside, and it's easy to imagine you've just walked through one of the doors. A mahogany bar beckons on the far wall of a room framed in leaded glass partitions, dark woodwork, and oppressed tin ceiling tiles. Beyond, cozy three-sided booths line the walls leading to a labyrinth of more intimate spaces, from the library with its floor-to-ceiling shelves of books and bric-a-brac, much of it imported from Ireland, flanking a gas fireplace, to the snug bar, as the Irish aptly call it, in the back. Chef Ryan Cross, a native of Ireland by way of Atlanta, takes his cue from the decor. The bulk of the offering is traditional Irish fare, with a supplemental smattering of contemporary creations such as linguine with mussels and a pan-seared pork loin with a cider brew sauce. Boxty, Irish potato cakes with a smooth, pancake-like texture, are available with a filling of smoked salmon or blackened chicken. Fried boxty wedges with a hot cheese dipping sauce are a modern twist, an Irish chef's answer to Mexican chips and queso, you might say, and every bit as addictive. The rest of the appetizer list caters equally to fans of the NFL and of the English Premier League soccer that's shown on Sundays on TV sets over the bar, with an offering that spans the Atlantic from Irish potato and leek soup to buffalo wings. But most people come to Ballymore for a taste of the Emerald Isle. Shepherd's pie is, not surprisingly, the best-selling entree. Purists might quibble about the absence of lamb in the dish, but few will fault the flavor of the rosemary-punctuated melange of ground beef, peas, and carrots baked under a thick cloud of mashed potatoes. Fish and chips are another favorite. The batter is lighter than most, so insubstantial that it sometimes falls off the fish before you can get it to your mouth. But the fillets, and you get two, are thick and moist, and the authentically thick-cut chips are exemplary. You can also get the chips as a starter, smothered with a gravy-like curry sauce, or served with a Marie Rose sauce, a blend of ketchup and mayonnaise, on the side. Corned beef and cabbage and a hearty Guinness stew are also popular and sure to become more so as the weather cools. Both are served with house-baked Irish brown bread, as are the bangers and mash, a trio of fat, fine-textured sausages and champ, mashed potatoes with green onions, with onion gravy and glazed carrots. The full menu, which includes an assortment of sandwiches ranging from the Reuben to grilled chicken Caesar wrap to a half-pound burger, is available at lunchtime on weekdays when it's supplemented by a $6.99 lunch special and a $9.95 buffet. On Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., the famously lavish full Irish breakfast, two eggs cooked to order, banger, rasher of Irish bacon, black and white pudding, potatoes, baked beans, and grilled tomato, is the featured attraction on a brunch menu that also includes omelets, corned beef hash, and French toast. General Manager John Gavin, a native of Ireland and a veteran of a number of area pubs, among them Chernaunorg and Connolly's, heads up a dining room staff that's efficient and friendly, and in some cases, downright chatty. The icing on the Irish tea cake, you might say, is Gavin's accent, which adds as much to the ambiance of the place as the decor. Throw in a properly pulled pint of Guinness, one of the 19 beers on tap at Ballymore, and you might just find yourself thinking you've stumbled across that pot of gold after all. Again, Ballymore received 3 stars, located at 909 Spring Forest Road in Raleigh, phone number 872-2674. Excuse me. The next restaurant review is also in Raleigh, and they received 4.5 stars. This restaurant is Machu Picchu, located at 4500-100 Falls of Neuse Road in Raleigh, phone number 526-7378. Oh, what a nice touch. This from my daughter, referring to the intricately folded linen napkins on the tables, just as we were being seated. Indeed, they were a nice touch, and especially noteworthy, because Machu Picchu is not the sort of fine dining establishment where you'd normally expect to see them. It's a modest 48-seat strip mall eatery specializing in Peruvian cuisine, simply but charmingly furnished, with a few pieces of Peruvian folk art and travel poster-esque pictures. The napkins are, as I discovered, symbolic of the attention to detail and pride that Peruvian native owners Gloria and Victor Orjuela take in their restaurant. So are the crisp white old-school chef's jackets and toques they both wear, though Victor is quick to point out that his Johnson & Wales-trained wife is the chef. My daughter's comment proved to be a harbinger of things to come, too, over the course of a meal that would be liberally peppered with exclamations of surprise and delight. The complimentary dish of canchas, for starters, addictively crunchy kernels of toasted corn that are served warm soon after you're seated. An exotic dessert such as mazamora morada, a cinnamon-spiced gelatin of purple corn with chunks of fresh pineapple. And Lucama ice cream, made with an Andean fruit whose flavor is an ambrosial blend of maple, caramel, and coffee. In the intervening hour, we happily dug into a cilantro and enriched tamale verde made with fresh corn. A ceviche sampler left no doubt as to why ceviche is the hallmark of Peruvian cuisine. Artfully garnished with toothpick skewers of white corn, the trio included traditional fish, swai, a mild fish with a texture resembling catfish, marinated in the classic leche de tigre blend of Peruvian yellow peppers, red onion, cilantro, and lime, a spicier mixed ceviche of scallop, shrimp, and fish, and ceviche nikkei, a soy and ginger marinated tuna tribute to Japan's culinary influence on Peru. All are available separately, but I have a hard time choosing just one. An entree offering of steelhead trout, whose color and flavor are somewhere between trout and salmon, blanketed with a creamy mint sauce and served with quinoa, was as rewarding to eat as it was to look at. And Machu Picchu's rendition of the Peruvian flagship dish Loma Saltado, a flambéed stir-fry of expertly trimmed beef tenderloin, onions, tomatoes, and red bell peppers, was exemplary. On another visit with my wife, a churros a la chalaca, steamed New Zealand mussels, served cold on a bed of lettuce and topped with a salsa of tomatoes, Peruvian corn, onion, cilantro, and lime juice, were a refreshing change of pace. Deep-fried yuca, served with salsa jucaneya, a creamy, moderately spicy sauce made with yellow Peruvian chilies called ají amarillo, elicited more than one satisfied mmm. But by far, the most distinctive starter was based on, of all things, boiled potatoes. In Ocopa, the spuds are blanketed in a sauce that gets its vivid green color from the aromatic South American herb huacache, which is pureed with peanuts, onions, and garlic to produce a thick, creamy texture and a hauntingly complex flavor. It's listed under the appetizer heading, but would also make a fine side dish. If our eyes widened at the sight of the ocopa, our jaws surely dropped when the waiter delivered our entrees. Jalea in particular, an order of which produced a large oval platter mounded end-to-end with a bounty of fried seafood, shrimp, squid, bay scallops, mussels, and nuggets of tilapia, served on a bed of lettuce and fried yuca, and topped with a bright, fine-textured salsa criollo. Eggi di gallina, which features shredded chicken simmered in a creamy walnut-thickened sauce punctuated with ají amarillo chilies, is a textbook rendering of a Peruvian favorite. Served over boiled potatoes with rice on the side, the dish is garnished with the traditional hard-boiled egg and Peruvian olive. Not as impressive to the eye as the jalea, perhaps, but every bit as rewarding in the mouth. Still, I can't quite get the picture of the huge platter of seafood out of my head. And that was the single portion. I'll bet exclamations fly all over the dining room when a waiter walks by with that platter for two. Again, this restaurant received 4.5 stars, located at 4500-100 Falls and Noose Road in Raleigh, phone number 526-7378. The next restaurant review I'm going to read is I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing this right, Archira Thai and Sushi. They're located at 2110 Enverion Way in Chapel Hill. They received 2.5 stars. Their phone number is 960-2724. The Thai and Sushi restaurant concept is a relatively recent phenomenon and has caught on so thoroughly that it's tempting to chalk its success up to the modern marketing genius. Sandy Mason, owner and chef of Arkiria Thai and Sushi, would like you to know that the culinary kinship goes back much further. The restaurant's website traces sushi's roots to Southeast Asia nearly 2,000 years ago, when people preserved fish by wrapping it in seaweed. The practice migrated to China and to Japan, where it evolved over the centuries to its present form. It's a fascinating narrative, and for all its reveals about the history of sushi, it tells you just as much about Mason's flair for drama and her multicultural background. She comes by both honestly. Mason was born in Bangkok, where, she says, she began falling in love with America through the movies. She moved to the States in 1983 and worked her way up from employee to owner in restaurants in the Washington, D.C. area, and most recently, Lotus Leaf Cafe in Cary. Last year, she teamed up with real estate developer Brian Reen to open this restaurant in the new East 54 complex in Chapel Hill. The chef's personality comes through in her Thai offering, which is marked by an emphasis on fresh ingredients, clean flavors, and more than a passing nod to contemporary American tastes. Artful presentations reveal a theatrical sensibility that's every bit as vivid on the plate as it is on the website page. Pineapple fried rice is served in a pineapple shell and garnished with a carrot flower. Beef pad ka prao, streaked with vibrant red and green peppers, julienne carrots, and fresh basil leaves, is served with jasmine rice molded into the shape of a star. Even a simple papaya salad is carefully arranged on a lotus blossom of lettuce leaves. Sprinkled among the traditional Thai dishes are a handful of specialties such as crispy honey-roasted duck and a red curry-sauced wild seafood medley. Mason's inventive take on potstickers is a fusion of Thai and Chinese cuisines, serving up dumplings filled with minced chicken and vegetables in a red curry sauce. Tom Kha Kai gets a respectable rendering, though the soup takes the clean flavors approach too far. With the flavors galangal and lemongrass barely detectable, it comes across as one-dimensional brew of coconut milk. The egg noodle dish, Khao So, comes closer to the mark, but still falls a bit short. Fried egg noodles piled atop the dish give a crunchy counterpoint to the boiled noodles in a flavorful yellow curry sauce. A more generous hand with the pickled mustard, fried onion, and other promised vegetables, and the dish would be an unqualified success. Healthy rolls, on the other hand, score a clean bullseye with shrimp, chicken, cucumber, shredded lettuce, mint, and a refreshing surprise, mango, in a translucent rice paper wrappers. The sushi side of the menu is a work in progress, but shows promise. Sushi Chef Aunt, he goes by the single name, a native of Thailand with 12 years of experience, came on board a couple of months ago. The current list represents only about a third of what he hopes to offer, but already includes local rarity black marlin in addition to the standard lineup. When it comes to its presentation, Aunt takes its artistic cue from Mason. Even modest orders of sushi and sashimi are presented in a lacquered boat. A swan fashioned from an orange slice garnishes an appetizer of tuna yuke, a medley of diced raw tuna, orange, cucumber, and scallions in a light spicy dressing. Then there's the fanciful specialty rolls, caterpillar, rattlesnake, beauty and the beast, half tuna, half eel, and the alligator, an elaborate roll shaped like its namesake, with a shrimp tail at one end and an alligator head sculpted from wasabi at the other. The designers of the dining room spent a week in Thailand in preparation for the task, and it shows. The look is, as Mason puts it, 21st century Thailand. Sleek lines, bamboo floors, and contemporary furnishings imported from Thailand. A few well-placed artifacts, including a collection of ornate Thai ceremonial masks, each displayed in a separate alcove, add visual drama in historical context. It's hard to imagine a setting better suited to Sandy Mason's style. Again, this restaurant received 2.5 stars, located at 2110 Environ Way in Chapel Hill, phone number 960-2724. And this comes from the Cheap Eats section, and it's about gourmet burgers. Gourmet burgers, formed by hand, grilled to order, and available in a bewildering variety of shapes, sizes, and topping combinations, continue to be a hot trend. And this is the latest wave. The first one, Bull City Burger and Brewery, is located at 107 East Parish Street in Durham, phone number 680-2333. In a nutshell, burgers from pasture-raised beef, house-baked buns and condiments, everything from mustard to pickles, are made from scratch and on the premises. Even the beer is brewed in-house. Need I say more? Also try the house-made all-beef hot dogs, buttermilk onion loaf, and duck frittes. And Chow, located at 8311 Creedmoor Road in Raleigh, phone number 841-495. In a nutshell, the latest venture from the folks who gave us Frasier's, Coquette's, and Vivace, Chow is family-friendly and noisy eatery specializing in those all-American favorites, burgers and pizza. House ground burgers are fat and juicy with specialty topping combos such as the flatline, bacon, fried egg, and Duke's mayo. Also try the pizzas and grilled wings, but steer clear of the onion rings. Draft, located at 510 Glenwood Avenue in Raleigh, phone number 834-2955. In a nutshell, if you like the burgers at Tribeca Tavern, you'll love Draft, the company's newest entry on Glenwood South. Burgers are made with the same 10 ounces of local grass-fed beef, grilled to order, and available with a bewildering array of topping options. Also try the house-made guacamole and the excellent selection of North Carolina-brewed draft beers. Fiasco's is located at 10410-107 Moncrief Road in the Briardale Shopping Center in Raleigh, phone number 544-6789. In a nutshell, sliders, mini burgers that are all the rage, are the specialty, and they're available in a variety of tempting mix-and-match variations on local baked bread, from classic Angus beef on a white bun to lamb with Greek-style toppings on a ciabatta. Also try the Mandurian Crunch Salad and Sweet Potato Fries. And lastly, the Gere Street Garden, located at 644 Foster Street in Durham, phone number 688-2900. In a nutshell, burgers are made with the local pasture-raised beef, and you can enjoy them indoors, where the details of the restored historic gas station have been preserved, or out back at the communal picnic tables. Also try The Pile, which lives up to its name with an enormous heap of fries, bacon, jalapenos, melted cheddar, gravy, and two sauces topped with fried chicken. Just be sure to have your cardiologist on auto dial first. And we have some restaurant news to read as well. Nana's chef to open Mexican restaurant. Chef Scott Howell of the fine dining destination Nana's in Durham is opening Nana Taco next door in the space previously occupied by the Fish Shack and Rockwood Filling Station. Howell describes the restaurant as the classic taquera in many aspects, a salsa bar, house-made tortillas, and reasonable prices, including a two-taco special with beans, rice, and a drink for about $6.95, offered all the time. However, there will be flourishes sure to satisfy the foodies. Hog jowl tacos, rotisserie Ashley Farms chicken served with mole sauce, and a Big Daddy burrito with hog jowl, duck confit, and house-made chorizo. It will also serve $5 margaritas, bottled beer, milkshakes, and smoothies. The service counter restaurant is expected to be open 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Tuesdays through Thursdays, and Tuesdays to Thursdays and Sundays, and 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Fridays and Saturdays. El Rodeo on Hillsboro to become Chili Bomba. The Ibera family, the restaurateurs behind Ibera and the El Rodeo restaurants across the Triangle, are converting their original Hillsboro Street location to a new concept. Charlie Ibera, one of the younger sons of the Ibera family, is joining two brothers, Jesse and Hector, to transform the space into Chili Bomba. He says it will be of a more playful concept with Mexican pop art on the walls and a more condensed Tex-Mex menu with jalapeno hush puppies and burrito baskets. The restaurant is at 2400 Hillsboro Street and next door to a Chipotle that will open in this fall. It is across the street from the NC State University. This was the original location of the Iberos family's first El Rodeo restaurant, which opened 18 years ago. Beasley's Chicken and Honey opened. Chef Ashley Christensen of Raleigh's Pool Diner opened her new restaurant, Beasley's Chicken and Honey. This is the first of three entities that Christensen will open at the corner of South Wilmington and East Martin Streets in downtown Raleigh. Beyond the sit-down fried chicken restaurant, Christensen said she hopes to open Chuck's, a counter-service burger joint next door. Then a basement bar called Fox Liquor Bar that is a planned opening in September. So hopefully that should be open by now. Joel Lane's Public House is also now open. Two of the owners of Isaac Hunter's Oak City Tavern have opened on Glenwood South Restaurant, paying homage to Raleigh's founding father, Joel Lane. Joel Lane's Public House is in the Creamery building in the space formerly occupied by Artisan and before that, Sauced. The address is 410 Glenwood Avenue, Suite 350. The menu, co-owner Zach Medford says, is new American cuisine filled with hearty sandwiches and a new twist on tavern classics. The draft beers are all from North Carolina breweries, except for PBR. The chef is William Thornton, who most recently worked at Gravy. And Carrie's Bavarian Brathos has closed. The German restaurant on Tryon Road in Carrie closed, according to an email sent out by the owner, Gene Gibbons. The company will continue to offer catering and operate a food truck, and you can find their food trucks on Twitter at Bavarian Brats. And we have time just really quickly for one more restaurant news. The Latin Grill is now open in Clayton. Brothers Eddie and Galo Andrade recently opened the Latin Grill in Clayton. The 49-seat restaurant serves Portuguese and Argentinian food, including grilled steaks, ribs, and chicken. It opens for lunch and dinner every day from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. The restaurant is at 876 Gully Drive off of U.S. 70 in Clayton. And finally, Bistro 155 in Apex to open. Alvin Cotto, chef and owner of We Cook For You Catering, plans to open a restaurant called Bistro 155 in Apex. Cotto, 41, used to work at Cattail's restaurant at the Carolina Mudcat Stadium before starting his catering company. He said the menu would be eclectic. While his specialties are Caribbean, Puerto Rican, and Cuban food, the menu will also include Mexican, Italian, and Southern fare. The restaurant will be at 1402 East William Street, which used to house Ocean Stars Seafood and Restaurant. And it looks like that we have run out of time for today's episode of the Restaurant Reviews. I hope you listen again, and I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Missy Hollander, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. This program is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. So long until next time.